Was there ever a better band ever? It's just amazing. Some people will say, you know, I don't like the Beatles at all. They're just like, and I'm like, stop right there. I'm not a violent man, but if you say anything ugly about them, I may become one. John B. Wells in for George Norrie tonight, who is taking the night off and leaving me with you, which I'm delighted to do. It's an open line euphonic Friday. So, as I like to say, from the Yukon to the Yucatan, from Europe to Utah, and all points in between. Calls are lined up from Hollywood, California, to Texas, New Jersey, and Minnesota, and we're going to get to each and every one of them if you'll just hang in there with me for just a minute on the other side of this break. Here it comes. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. John Wells in for George Norrie, and let's bring Vicky in Hollywood on the wild card line onto the main deck of the mothership. Vicky, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I love listening to your voice. It sounds so peaceful, mature, and humble.
Good grief. Thank you very much.
And I love the topics that you cover because you bring out a lot of truth. You bring out more truth than some of the other folks who do this show.
Well, you know, I'd like to say sometimes, just as a qualifier, you know, I'm inclined to ask a question, and I don't know which will be less discreet, the question or the potential answer. But what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm responding from your guest that you just had. I had a funny little thing happen to me this week. I went to Santa Monica to take care of some letters that needed to be written in the Santa Monica Law Library, and I heard one time Art Linkletter said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are.
Yeah.
And I had that experience. I was like determined to do these letters for some legal work, and I end up in the nativity scene in that little park area by the beach, you know, where the atheists took over.
Yes.
And I was inspired to make a pretty little sign that said it's all about Jesus when I read one of the displays about how Christ was nothing but a myth. And next thing I know, I had tons of people all around me, and I had the media all over me, and LA Times, and Fox News 11, and I was like, well, gosh, I had no intention on, you know, drawing all this on me, but I had some people call me for interviews about what I was doing, and after I listened to your guest, I just felt so fed to go out and continue. And in a little, right now I'm really relating to Gideon, who was a weak, you know, feeble man in his basement, stomping on wheat and kind of hiding from the enemy. And God sent him out on a great, great mission. And I'm just this weak, feeble woman with fibromyalgia and a lot of pain in my body. But I was so overwhelmed with the joy of Jesus that I didn't even feel the pain. And I went out there and held my arms up all day long with a sign that says, it's all about Jesus, and well, they plastered it all over the front page of the LA Times yesterday.
You know, thanks very much for your call, and if that brings you joy, then that's what you need to do. You know, sometimes I read these emails, which, by the way, you can send me one, because it's just you and me now. Our guest has moved on, and it was really good talking with Mark Anthony. I hope he comes back soon. That's John B. at coasttocoastam.com. There are two things that will get you in trouble quicker than just about anything, unless you make a career out of it, in which case you're getting paid for it, and that's discussing religion and politics, and many people have expressed their opinion that can't really get into this religion thing too much because that sort of violates the spirit of the show, but which is, you know, paranormal and the unexplained. Now, my view of the world is I can't think of anything much more paranormal or unexplainable than the than our existence here. When I see some of the things going on in the world, I have to ask myself, now, where are we? Why are these people taking such delight in making strange images of what was already weird? And then, of course, the Suleiman who called a while ago talking about visions of nuclear disaster and so forth. And there are some people out there, and we've discussed this many times, that just really want to watch the world burn, and nothing would make them happier. Those are the ones that we have to fight against. We're not supposed to be just passively accepting of that form of annihilation. But I do find it interesting that when politics then becomes intertwined with religion, the current administration has just put out their Christmas card. The news report today indicating that Bo, the dog, he was not able to put his paw print on the Christmas card. And then the next story is that the PC police have threatened members of the House of Representatives against wishing constituents a Merry Christmas if they want to do so in a mailing paid for with tax dollars. So I'll say this once and I'll be done. People are wearing out this separation of church and state thing. Henry VIII wanted to dump Catherine, divorce her, and so he separated from the church of Rome, made his own church. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to establish a church of the United States as there is the old COE. That would be the Church of England, and that's the beginning and end of that. So, I don't know. They sure blow a lot of dough on other things. I can't imagine that sending a Christmas or otherwise a seasonal greeting to your constituents. I mean, maybe such a thing would that would be using our tax dollars to keep the postal system from going bankrupt because, well, I understand they're in the red again this year to the tune of several billions of dollars. So let's go east of the Rockies to Sharon in Stockdale, Texas. Are you there, Sharon, or did you give up on us? I hear something. Okay, forget about it. Let's talk to Steve in New Jersey.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I think you're doing a great job, John B. Wells.
Well, thanks. I'm hanging in here by bloody fingernails.
Well,
what's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to put a message out there for all these warmongers and all the people of Coast. To every morning when you wake up, or when it hits you during the day, or just before you go to bed, maybe all three times, just think of the earth and all the people and wish them love, peace, harmony, and forgiveness. I think that will help with mass consciousness.
Well, that's a pretty good message. It, it's funny. People go, oh, love, you're going to love us out of everything, you know, right? It's like they make it sound as though love is this wimpy little sort of a extra appendage of an emotion that has no power. It's the most powerful force that there is. And that's an excellent message, and thank you very much for passing it along to us, Steve. What about Rob in Brainerd, Minnesota?
Hi.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Great, how are you? So I got a comment and a question. So a couple of weeks ago, I was listening, and I was pretty sure it was Ian Punnett was on, and there was a caller from St. Cloud, Minnesota, and he was talking about the night before he had seen this light in the sky, like a star, and then it moved, and it was gone. I seen the exact same thing. It was just kind of crazy. And then I had a question. You were a couple of days ago, I was listening. You were hosting, and you were talking about there's something else now in the chemtrails. What is that?
Well, I've been watching these things since about 1998. Mm-hmm. I've been amazed that nobody, that I said, what do you make of that? And
right.
Finally, I walked up to the car window at the post office. And I said, ma'am, excuse me. I just want to ask you a question. I'll keep my distance. She goes, oh, that's all right. And she must have been 90. And I said, do you notice these things up in the, I think I've told the story before, but not everybody got the message. So if I'm giving you a rerun, I apologize. I'll be brief. But I said, do you notice these unusual trails in the sky? And she looked at me with this little grandmotherly grin. And she said, yes, I do. And it's not normal. But at my age, it doesn't really do a lot of good for me to be overly concerned about it. So I started getting into this thing. And of course, it's pretty much established that there's aluminum oxide in them and barium in them and so forth. And I noticed that people seem to, in about 48 hours after a really good dose of this stuff, if anybody else observes this, I would be validated or repudiated, one or the other, if you would send an email and just let me know what your observations are. But it takes about 2 days for this to happen. And if you're looking at people in traffic, they are not gesturing with their fingers. They are not blowing their horns. They are not being aggressive in any way. They are sort of like behaving a little bit like ants that are on the same trail, but there are a bunch of them going in both directions. So they're sort of bumping into each other a little bit and kind of like, oh, you're an ant, okay, and they go around. They're getting along, but they seem just ever so slightly, not really disoriented, but just more toddling than disoriented. Then, of course, come the respiratory infections and the sinus infections and so forth. So it's like, okay, what could this be for? Is it weather manipulation? Is it some sort of, you hear Monsanto is developing aluminum-resistant seeds and so forth. So it's like, oh, they're going to control the food. Okay, all right. But these things are very seldom what we think that they are, because there are very, very clever people who are in charge of these projects, whatever their intention is. And in fact, I may have told this one also too, but I'll tell it again to anybody who didn't hear it. This was related to me by Eddie Z, who used to be in this part of the world and would accompany me to these coast-to-coast sessions. And he spoke with a young woman, so this is like this, I'm three deep from this now, but he's accurate and it sounds plausible. She was in a woman was in a position to speak with a very high-ranking military person. And she asked this military person, what is this? It's undeniable that they're there. They're not condensation trails. Condensation trails disappear after a while. These do not. They linger around for hours and hours. And this he was a general. And he said, young lady, tell me something. What color was the sunlight when you were a teenager? And she said, well, it was rather yellow, or had a kind of a gold tint to it. He said, that's correct. He said, now what color is the sun now? She says, well, the light is rather white and somewhat gray. And he just smiled wanly and said, we're looking after you. Okay, maybe that's fine. However, there has been a recent news story. I believe I read it on the last, in fact, I'm going to look for it. Maybe I can toss a little bit out here, but it's way deep into old news now. But it is possible to activate certain metals and crystals by the application of electromagnetic radiation. This sort of thing can, this technique can change behavior. It can make people docile. All of these technologies are under development right now. And please keep in mind at all times, I mean, you know, don't drive yourself nuts with it, but please understand, the fax machine was invented in the 1800s. This is true. The Navy's been using them since the 50s. The citizens didn't get them until the 80s. So everything that we think of as current contemporary technology is at least 30 and quite possibly as many as 40 years behind what actually exists. So anybody that's got the idea that we're going to survive the apocalypse by, you know, camping out with a few MREs and our deer rifles, that's not going to work. In fact, if it is an electromagnetic, I'm going to go out on the clothesline a little bit here. If it is, in fact, electromagnetic radiation that is the core driver of mass population manipulation, then enhanced electromagnetic countermeasures of the mental sort might be the only defense against it. Now, if you get a nice big dose of it, well, what could they do? The other part is that in this news report, these metals and crystals were to be put surreptitiously into vaccines. So now, is this supposed to scare everybody off from getting the vaccine? We eliminated many, many diseases through vaccines. I've always questioned the flu vaccine. If the flu, medical officials have admitted, well, we get a different strain of flu almost every year. So what, my question is, what exactly are we vaccinating against? the swine flu thing. Oh, it's swine flu. Nothing much happened. Oh, it's bird flu, avian flu. Nothing much happened. So there's really no predicting which report is going to be the false flag and which is going to be the straight information. But I think probably a better way to get metallic particles and crystals into the human body would be to do a massive aerosol spraying of them. I would think that consistent inhaling of these particles might go a long way to saturating your system with these particles, which are now nano-sized, to go back to his question. And so there it is. The only solution to the problems that we are going to be faced with, and which we are, in fact, now being faced with, are control of politicians and become smarter. Read everything. Put the pieces together. Just like that movie, A Beautiful Mind. Maybe you've seen it. John Nash, genius guy, schizophrenia sufferer. He's looking at a page, but he seems to see a secret message there because certain words pop out at him. But what we have to do is even more important. Let's say there's a jigsaw puzzle, and it's a big pile of pieces. The first thing we have to do is understand that not all of these pieces go to the puzzle. There are only certain pieces that go to the puzzle. First, we have to determine what they are, and then assemble the puzzle. Is this making any sense whatsoever? Well, I certainly hope so. Jim, Wildcard in Ohio, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, good. I enjoy listening to you whenever I'm up at this hour. The one thing I didn't tell your screener about my calls, I am a Roman Catholic since birth in 1953. I was born in 1953. And I wanted to address the question that the fellow with the Hispanic accent asked your guest, which he said, why doesn't the Vatican and Pope Benedict XVI stand up against the, you know, the encroaching banking powers that are, you know, pulling off the bailouts and all that kind of stuff? And there is a fairly articulate thesis that in 1958, there was a takeover of the Vatican. It is a historical fact that there were 5 minutes of white smoke that came up on October 26, 1958. That was 17 days after Pope Pius XII died, but no pope came out. 2 days later, Pope John the 23rd came out and was hailed as good Pope John by the world press. Now, any Catholic that is, and I, you know, we might add to make this relevant to what the guy asked, a few months ago, you might have seen that Benedict XVI called for a world bank. Did you happen to see that in the news?
I just got a passing glimpse of it, yes.
Okay, he called for a world bank. Now, here's what I would say is happening, and I don't know if it's within the rules for me to give Google search words or a website that I promise you has no advertisements or trying to make money on it, but the thesis is this. The cardinals were threatened by a nuclear threat in the conclave. The cardinal Siri was elected, was pushed aside. 2 days later, John the 23rd came out, and ever since then, every Catholic of my age knows the Mass, the sacraments, the architect of the churches, the catechism, everything has been changed since 1958, especially around Vatican II. Now, people may like that or not like it, but everyone knows that there has been massive changes. So I believe what several particular authors have said, that's what happened, that the Vatican is now run by the encroaching banking systems that are oppressing the world. They've been in total control since 58. And if I could say one other thing, we're in the eclipse of the church, according to this thesis. This is where the Vatican would be taken over. We're going to go into church and state are going to sink, and it's going to end in 3 days of darkness where a tail of a comet comes through the earth, perhaps.
Oh, boy.
But after that, we will have...
We've got a hard... Hold, Jim, you hold the line, all right? I'm going to get back to you. We've got a hard break coming up. Wells in for Nori. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, Jim, you stay there. Just a couple of quick things. Consider becoming a Coast Insider. You're going to have a lot of fun with this. It's inexpensive. It's easy to use. You got 3 years of past programs. And so if you can't hang in here for the whole 4 hours, which, of course, we hope you do, but in case you don't have that kind of time at your disposal for listening when you need to be sleeping so that you don't, well, have a boo-boo at the... new workplace the next day. It's a great service, and you will enjoy it very much. Be sure to check the Coast homepage whenever you can, because there's all kinds of news and information on there, and it's amazing how many people who listen to Coast regularly don't really visit the homepage that much, but should, because you're missing a lot of stuff. One more thing, and that is that Well, the mothership's chaplain, Ian Punnett, has some ear trouble, and he has relinquished his seat effective January 2012, to me. I'll be in with you on Saturday nights, commencing, I believe, the 7th. Yes, it is the 7th. So send some good vibrations to Ian. He's got a terrible case of tinnitus, which is just a debilitating ear thing, and he's a tough guy, because he continues to go forward. He continues to do his morning show, and he'll be doing the second Sunday of every month. So he'll still be with us. But send some good vibes his way, and we're gonna finish up with Jim here in a minute, and then get as many of your calls as we possibly can between now and when and the time that our Plentium 06 turns into Depletium 58. So please stand by. John Wells in for George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. All right, Jim, can you did you just pass out and go, oh, man, you'd give an aspirin an headache, or are you still there?
No, I didn't pass out at all.
Okay, good. Good. Finish your thought on that, about how the church is changing and so forth.
Yeah, in other words, the I'm trying to figure out what to encapsulate here in a few seconds, but the church's in eclipse is a long-time prophecy. There's a book called Catholic Prophecy that goes into them, and I guess I would like to throw out here real quick, the election and shoving aside of Cardinal Siri, that's S-I-R-I in 1958, is mentioned by a coast-to-coast favorite, Malachy Martin, in a book before he died called, his book is called the, I'm having a brain glitch here, but Malachy Martin's book, on this book, page six, the keys of this blood, it's the keys of this blood, the keys of this blood, pages 600 to 610, he talks about Siri being elected, shoved aside. And Paul L. Williams, who's a famous author on the War on Terror, he wrote a book called The Vatican Exposed. Now, he's not a Catholic and he's not anti-Catholic, but he's just not trying to be an apologist for the church. And he produces in there the CIA documents that says white smoke went up, Siri was elected and shoved aside. So can I give you Google search words or a website, or what's within the rules of Coast?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Okay. Art never liked to do that because he thought somebody was always trying to push something, and
no,
about half the time
I
he was right.
You, there's no selling on this website, and it's only three articles. It's called October1958.com. That's October1958.com. And at the bottom of the white smoke articles, you have links to three other articles, but there's no advertisements on it. So for people interested in like 212 and the 2012 and that type of thing, I can finish up by saying these prophecies, in other words, these would be anti-popes. John the 23rd, John Paul II, Benedict the 16th, in our view, those who follow this thesis, these are anti-popes. They're not popes. There's been 39 major anti-popes in the history of the church. Some have occupied the Vatican, and the 3 days of darkness, or whatever is going to cause this chastisement, will be very rough for mankind. But at the other end, a true pope will be restored in the Vatican. The world will be in a period of peace, and that's according to the Fatima prophecies. And I know you, on Coast to Coast, you've had a few Fatima guests on over the years, too. So I just thought that might be interesting for people. There's also on Wikipedia, if you look up Siri, S-I-R-I, there's pros and cons, because there are some people who have believed this at one time, like Hutton Gibson, the father of Mel Gibson. He believed this thesis at one time. He's turned against it now. So if people want to kind of see a pro and con, they could go to Wikipedia and look up Siri, S-I-R-I. So I just thought that might be interesting to people, especially since the question that guy asked, how can Benedict the 16th be calling for a world, a world bank and all that type of thing?
You know what? You're very articulate. I'm just curious. How do you know these things? I mean, what motivated you to get this deeply into it?
Okay, I was again born in 1953, raised a very good, in the traditional sense, Catholic education, and I fell away from the faith in high school and college. Of course, a lot of high school and college kids like to fall away from the faith because nobody likes rules in any era. But then in 1974. When I learned when abortion became legal and I was trying to find, well, who's doing all this, I ran into a priest named Father Francis Fenton, and I don't think there's anything about him on the internet. He passed away. And when I saw him in this speech, I expected to hear a political speech, and when he said the name of Jesus, John, he bowed his head. Now, at 19 years old, that sent a shockwave through me because this had quit happening in the Catholic Church at Vatican II. So gotcha. I then looked back into it. Ran into this fellow who wrote these articles, Mr. Gary Giffray, who is a portrait artist, who his portrait of Reagan is hanging in the Reagan Library. And when I saw this research at October1958.com, I believed it was true, and I believe this is about the most important subject in the world. And so you know, and I might add that if you ever wanted to have this fellow who authored these articles as a guest, I promise you, you would have one of the most interesting hours, you know, on Coast to Coast, because this is a very, this information is very hard to find, even though it is in these major books that, that I mentioned, and in a number of other sources.
A lot to learn in so little time. Listen, stay in touch by email, you know, and I really enjoyed talking to you, and I'm sure
the listeners. Well, thank you, John. You too. I really enjoy when you're on, and I enjoy the others too, but good luck to you, okay?
Same to you. Have a great Christmas, okay? That was very interesting. I thought that was very interesting. See why this Coast Insider thing is a good idea, because I'm going to get a bunch of emails saying, what did he say? And it's like, if you're an insider, you can just go back and listen to the show, and it's cheap, and it's a good tool. All right. Jonathan in Hotlanta. Come up on the bridge if you are still there. Jonathan.
Yes, how you doing, sir, George?
Doing all right. No, I'm not George. I'm John.
I'm sorry, John. John Wells. I apologize.
No worries. I've been called way worse than that.
No, I apologize. I was listening to the show. It's always good as usual. And the key thing here is, as far as a listener, I love the show, and for the audience too, the key thing is the amount of deception that we see that's in the world. It starts at an early age in terms of indoctrination to belief systems that are there. But when you look and go back into the ancient text and you read and you come forward, you find out that a lot of the things that we have accepted as truth are extremely difficult in when you look at them in their correct light. The teachings, and when we talk about the matrix, is basically, John, you speak about it like in the third person when you say taking the red or the blue pill, and can we awaken ourselves? And I think at the we're in the latter stages now, the latter age of this particular time frame. As far as it relates to specifics, the Vatican has bank holdings in the Bank of America, and that's probably one reason why they don't speak a lot about or speak out about the world banking system as a whole, because of their holdings, which are a part of the system. As we come to find out now, the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of key elements in our upbringing and in this structure which are absolutely false. And I think the people in the listening audience, we need to look inside of ourselves, and we need to be truthful, and we need to start seeking the truth earnestly. We're talking about love. It's going to be extremely important now, because the game plan for us is to have us all tagged and chipped here soon. The breakings out of world wars, third war, keep us preoccupied. There are a lot of trillions and billions of dollars passing hands in the game of war, ideologies created to make men separate themselves along lines. And when we go back and look at the Gulf of Tonkin, which started the Vietnam War, or we look at the U.S. Liberty, and we look behind, if people would just not take everything that they hear without researching and looking at it, they'll find that there's hidden agendas in almost everything that we see through mainstream media. We need to be careful in the last days, and we need to prepare, because they're trying to corral us like cattle and like sheep and send us over the edge.
Understood.
And they're planning World War III. They're planning on putting us into camps. They're planning on taking the food supply and a whole host of other things that the common person wouldn't dare believe would take place, but it's in the scriptures. We've been warned that if we wouldn't pay attention, they took the commandments out of the school. We look into our world, the United States as a whole. There's killings, pedophilia, murders, prostitution, all kinds of cronyism, theft, and burglary. It's become like second nature now. So there's not that much time left.
Jonathan, thank you very much for your call. Those were some serious words of wisdom. And you know, a lot of people say, listen, we enjoy the show, enjoy your guest, whoever the guest might be. The thing about it is, I'm not getting any satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction, to use the Rolling Stones verse, about what exactly do we do about it. I will offer this. This may be simplistic. I don't like to think of myself as a simp, but compared to some people, I'm simple. There are some really brilliant people out there. Anytime you have power, it is human nature to want to bend it to your own uses. You join forces with other powerful, I mean, that was the whole thing. I mean, arranged marriages. You consolidate your social, political, financial power, and you hold on to it, originally for the benefit of your family. But as you become more powerful, you know, there's a song, I think Morcheeba does it, called Everybody Loves a Loser. Well, why is that? Well, it's because they're humble at the state of their quote-unquote quote marks around the loserness. They're humble, and they're easy to get along with, and they're, you know, unless they're desperate and crazy. Forget that. That's an extreme. Problem is a lot of people, once they become successful, they become the object of certain names to describe their behavior. It's because if you're not careful, you'll lose your humanity. Hence all those references in Scripture to it's harder to get a rich man into heaven than it is to pull a camel or a burrow or whatever it was through the eye of the needle, that little narrow passageway in there. That's true because money changes you. So this is what I would offer as a partial solution. And keep in mind, this is not going to happen all at once. We have to get a lot smarter very quickly. I've made comments regarding Occupy Wall Street saying, I admire the fact that you are exercising your constitutional right to assemble for the redress of grievances, but you're barking up the wrong tree. If you want to change things in this country, you go to the place where the policy is made. And that, my friends, is Washington, D.C. You approach your politicians. You email them, snail mail them, until they have to listen. And you tell them, look, you're not going by this Constitution. And I tell you this, don't ever turn loose of that Constitution. There are people out there that want to experiment with socialism. They want to experiment with communism because, oh, capitalism's a terrible thing. These other two entities have been, the socialism and communism, it's been tried. There are plenty of books out there that'll tell you what the result of those two systems, the citizens who are under those systems reap misery. I believe it was Churchill said the chief virtue of socialism was shared misery. Now, it works if you have a small country, but when you have a great big country like this one with over 300 million people in it, that's not going to work because there's going to be a percentage of non-hackers that are going to pull off of the system and another group that's going to know how, that's going to learn how to manipulate the system. So if you want change, you go to your leaders. Your leaders in Washington, D.C. are the ones who call the shots. I am neither left nor right. I'm, you know, with a few exceptions, I would say fire the whole bunch and replace them with coast-to-coast listeners. I think we'd probably get this thing straightened out pretty quick because we know when we need to hit back, and we also know, I believe, collectively, what to do to avoid having to hit at all. Maybe just a good glare every once in a while would be enough to chill out some of the overly ambitious in the world of geopolitical annihilation. Juneau, Alaska. Do we really have a caller from Juneau, Alaska, named Jeff?
Yes, sir. Permission to come aboard.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Permission granted. What's on your mind?
John B. Wells, it kind of connected to me that I may have manifested Ian's problem worse so that I could hear you more into my ignorance. So I wanted to do that, and I hope that didn't happen. But
well, the relief of ignorance is an ongoing deal, man. I mean, that's just an evolving mechanism. The relief of ignorance. I'm working on it even now. What's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to engage the flux capacitor with you for a moment and take you back to the summertime when you did the Coast to Coast show and you commented about the Reno air crash. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you remember my email that I sent you about that?
Actually, I do.
The board game?
Yeah.
And the reference to chess and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is me.
Okay.
So, and I admit it, oh, that's groovy. I have been, every time I hear you, I'm wondering, what are you going to bring that up or not? But anyway, but what I wanted to do was, I wanted to, like, turn your guest today was the most fantastic guy. But I wanted to point out something that he said. Do you remember when he talked about the mistletoe thing? Or I believe it was the it might have been the reference to the holly, but I think it was the mistletoe about the... the guy dies 3 days later, up, rises again. Like, it's right. A common theme. And I wanted to say, all of the comments that we get about this thing that's happening, that's going on, which is really going on here for this 2012 thing, everybody seems to be, like, concerned with the foam on the top of the sea. And they don't realize that that's just the foam on the top of the sea. It's what's making that foam is the ocean below it.
That's correct.
Down into the deep ocean, it's surprisingly how simple it all is.
You know what? That's absolutely true. Jeff, if you've got a final thought, wrap it up, man, because we are pushing the clock really hard now, and I want to get Bob in before we have to go tonight.
Okay. I wanted to just make a note about our clock that we live by, this thing. If you look at the clock, you'll see that it is a circle with a dot in the middle of it. And anybody that knows anything about astrology will know that is the glyph that represents the sun, or your sun sign. If you look up your astrology sign, you'll see your sun sign will be a circle with a dot in the middle of it. Well, that's exactly what a clock is. And those 12 numbers that go around the outside of that clock, they represent the Earth's path around its star. And if you look at the trines, which are triangle shapes that are made up within those 12 things, you'll find that the 12 houses of the zodiac are represented on the clock, because that's what
that's
it is.
Interesting.
It's the Sumerian wheel. It starts out at the number one with Aries, and then it goes to Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. If you look at the water signs, which are the 4, the 8, and the 12, you draw the triangle, draw the lines between those three, you'll find a triangle there. And then you look at the Earth trine, which is the 10, the 2, and the 6, and you draw that, you'll soon see a Star of David pop right out of there.
And?
That's where it comes from. And then the air and the fire signs oppose that with the Star of Solomon, which is just a Star of David turned on its side. And you'll see the crosses that all run through the clock, too. You'll have each member of all of the trines represented in all of the crosses. And there are
Jeff, I got to go, pal. I'm sorry to cut you off, my brother, but and Bob, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but look here. The most valuable gift you can give your family, your friends, your loved ones is your time. Time is truly priceless, and after all, you have all the time there is. I won't talk to you before Christmas again, but I'll talk to you on the 29th, and then in 2012, I'll be on Saturday nights. For George Norrie, Lisa Lyon, Dave in L.A. Control, Art Bell, who started it all, thanks very much for being with us tonight. Merry Christmas.